We're going to continue this morning looking at the book of 2 Timothy, and we've been talking about the idea of a gospel that has been entrusted to us as believers. And last week we talked about even when it's going to be difficult, which it will be, when there are obstacles, which there will be, when there's a price to be paid, which there will be, we endure and continue in the work of the gospel. Today we'll take that just a little further and look at the words of chapter 4 in 2 Timothy, which I think answer for us again yet another question. So what are we supposed to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ? It's one thing to say, here, this is yours, it belongs to you, but what am I supposed to do with it? The word gospel means good news. What do I do with good news? What is the task that's been handed to me? And why is it so important that I do it? And I think that's the question that Timothy might have been asking, although I suspect he knew the answer. And I think that's sometimes the question we ask. What is it that we're trying to do and accomplish? What is it that makes a church a church? I like to say there are thousands of things that a church can do. There's one thing that a church must do. And that's the topic of this morning's lesson. And it is proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, the word of God, to the world. That is the task. Thousands of things we may do, one thing we must do. That's what it means to have a gospel entrusted to us. So in answering this question, Paul begins in verse 1 with some pretty serious, heavy-handed language. I charge you in the presence of God and of Jesus Christ, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. That's a rough introduction to a sentence, right? In fact, I would even go so far as to say that's a warning. Paul is about to give you an answer to a question. Your question is, what do I do with the word of God? And he says, I'm going to tell you, but then you can never pretend you don't know. So maybe I should give you the same option. Back doors are open. If anybody just wants to leave without being accountable for the verses that follow, this is the time to exit. Paul is going to tell you what you as a Christian must do. And from this time forward, if there was any excuse you had that I just didn't know that was my job, he says, I charge you before Jesus Christ. This is the task. The one who judges the living and the dead gives you this task. And I hope I'm ready to hear it. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. The verse begins with a simple expression that's probably every preacher's favorite three words, preach the word, preach the word. I had a crisis of conscience this week actually writing this sermon because I'm picky about words, especially this one actually. When I study a text, the first thing I want to know is, what did it mean to the person that wrote it and received it first? So Paul, Timothy, what did it mean? Well, the word preach, we know what that is. And we know what Paul thought it meant, and we know what Timothy thought it meant. It's the thing I'm doing right now. And so I had this concern, if I preach the text exactly as it's written, true to the meaning of the text, that I'm preaching a sermon to exactly one guy in the room, right? Because not everybody in church is a preacher. They're not supposed to be. It's not the way it's supposed to work. And so I struggled with this. I knew there was an alternative, but I struggled with it because I always want to be true to what did it mean when it was written. That said, now I'll give you my disclaimer. Absolutely, when it was written, by the guy it was written, to the guy it was written to, it absolutely was a call for a minister of the gospel to spend his time and energy making the public proclamation of the gospel in a way similar to what's happening right now, although often not in places like this, maybe in a synagogue or before a Roman court. That was definitely the original meaning. The nice thing is, though, for everybody else in the room who's not Paul, Timothy, or Ben, or Bud, or Derek, or whoever, right, for everybody else, you can take a different word and slide it into the verse, and the meaning remains true. It's no longer exactly what Paul was saying, but the point remains absolute. For me, the task is to preach. One of my first memory verses as a kid, you'll laugh at this, but it tells you who my dad was and is. One of my first memory verses as a kid was from 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. What was I supposed to do with life if that's your first memory verse? I mean, I was set up, okay? Woe to me if I preach not the gospel. Well, what you gonna do, right? And I knew what that meant, and I still do, and I still feel that way. If I wasn't doing this, I would feel guilty, like God had given me something to do and I hadn't done it. For you, you have a different set of skills and gifts. Thank God it only requires one of me on a Sunday morning to do one of these things. And there are certainly a lot of guys who do it better, but we don't even have to be that, is my point. All of us have part of the one task, the task of proclamation, of gospeling the world, of taking the good news and making sure the world knows it. So this morning, while I'll openly admit I'll be thinking about the word preach like the preacher thinks of a word preach, I hope that every one of you can think of what it means for you to be a proclaimer of the gospel. And the best part is, I don't know what it is. You get to write your own sermon while I talk this morning. I'll be talking about preaching, and you've got to decide in your life, where is it that I'm participating in the proclamation of the gospel? In what conversation, in what act, in what deed, in what time am I a participant in the proclamation of the gospel? And what's kind of cool about that is every one of us goes home with a different rendition of that sermon. But we've been charged before God and Jesus Christ, the judge of the living and the dead, to make sure we do it somewhere. And so we preach the word. We are proclaimers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You must take the word to the world. 1,000 things the church can do, one thing it must do. You must take the word to the world. You have been entrusted with it, you've been told to endure, and this is the task. People must know this message. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Which is a funny expression that Paul doesn't use very often. And I had one of those great moments this morning, actually. You can ask Bud later, but it's true. All your great preaching ideas happen in the shower. And I have this sermon ready, and I was ready to go, and all good. And I was thinking, go over it this morning. Okay, preach the word, in season, out of season. What am I going to say about in season, out of season? And it occurred to me that Paul is a lover of the Old Testament. And for Paul, he's alluding to a peculiar little passage in the book of Ecclesiastes when he makes this statement. Preach the word in season, out of season. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 says, for everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. The wisdom of the Old Testament was that there is, for every activity in human life, an appropriate season. Everything you do has a time. You don't do all the things you do all the time. In one season of life, you're a parent, and another season of life, you're a grandparent. In one season of life, you're really productive, and another season of life, maybe you're unhealthy and not able to do the things you used to do. In one season of life, you have resources and wealth to spend on things that you think matter. In another season of life, maybe somebody has to pay for your meal. There are different seasons to every activity of life. And the wisdom of Solomon in Ecclesiastes is just to accept that God has given to your life a variety of seasons. For everything there is a season, which means for everything there is out of season. There's a time, there's an off season to every part of life, except one. Paul says there is no off season for the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is no time. when all the changing seasons of life come and go, there is not one of them when God's word is not your task. In every season of life, it is preach the word. In every season of life, it is the gospel. There's a time to be born, gospel. There's a time to die, gospel. In every season of life, God's word remains our constant task. In season, out of season, this one truth remains. You must take the word to the world regardless of whatever else is going on. Cut yourself some slack on everything else. There's going to be times when you feel like doing yard work, and then there's every other day of the year. There are jobs that I want to put off. Well, that's actually it. There are jobs that I want to put off. All of us, we find time when we can do things and times when we can't. Time when it's somebody else's turn and times when it's mine. When it comes to taking the word of God to the world, it's my time all the time, and it's yours. That's our task. In season, out of season. There's no off season to the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have to reprove, rebuke, exhort with complete patience and teaching. And that part's pretty scary, because when I'm thinking about the gospel, I think of good news. And Paul says, yep, go out there and preach that. And while you're doing that, reprove, rebuke, and exhort. Those sound kind of negative, right? And he even goes on to say, with complete patience, because you're going to need it. If you read out of the King James Bible, like my memory verse was, and all long-suffering in doctrine. And my dad would say, do you know what long-suffering means, Benjamin? No, it means you're going to suffer long. Well, thanks. And that's the meaning of it. It really is. It's just that simple. As you go out there and you take the word to the world, however you're doing it in your proclamation of the gospel, you're going to find that the world is not quite ready to receive it. And that's an understatement. You're going to find in the lives of people that there are things that don't line up with God's word. And then, lo and behold, you're going to look in the mirror and find out you're not ready to receive it. And there are things in your life that do not line up with God's word. And so there is this enduring task of making correction, of saying to the world as it is, and to saying to my life and to other lives as they are, not that, but this. Not what you will, but what God wills. You must take the word to the world regardless of opposition. When you find that this is the most unpopular idea on the planet, Paul says, that's the season. That's when we take the word to the world, and we have to continue. In fact, he goes a step further. We're doing it precisely because there is opposition. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. He says, you're going to have to preach the word. Paul, they don't like it. He says, I noticed. You're going to have to preach the word. Paul, they don't like it. He says, that's why we're preaching it. If everybody already got it, if everybody already said, yeah, I know God's word, and I completely agree, and I do everything it said, I guess I wouldn't have a job, and that one job that I said the church has to do would be done, and we'd all quit. Anybody worried about that? Yeah. I've never worried about preaching myself out of work. I can tell you that, right? I don't think it's going to happen. Worst case, if I fixed everybody else, there'd be at least one sinner in the room who needed to hear it, and he's the one talking. That there's never going to be a time when this word doesn't need to be preached. There is always going to be a time when people don't like it, and Paul says that's why we do it. We do it because this is the message that needs to shape the world, and it's not. Because this is the message that needs to guide lives, and it isn't. We preach precisely because of the opposition in the world. It's not new. It's the reason we're here. We are here to preach this gospel exactly because no one wants to hear it. That's the task. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering. There's that suffering again. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Again, I have to say, for Timothy, and for a guy like me, this passage is very deeply personal because it describes a sacred task and a calling, and Paul ends it by putting him on notice. This is the job you have been given. You have a task. You have a job. And Paul ends by simply saying, now do your job. Every one of us have a gift and an opportunity for service. And as I said at the beginning, I don't know what yours is. I know what I have to do. I don't always do it, but I try, and I hope I continue to hold myself accountable to that task. You have a task too. It may be in conversation with friends. It may be in work, in a Bible class. It may be in good deeds in the world that manifest the gospel of Jesus Christ and create opportunities for you to say, this is why we do what we do, and this is why we live the way we do. You know where in your life those opportunities are, and I don't. I can only know about mine. You know where in your life you should be proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and have failed to. Paul says, do your job. And the God of all creation is watching. And I can't think of a more challenging, beautiful, frightening, wonderful passage to give to a group of Christians. There's 1,000 things you can do this week. There is one you have to do. I pray you do it. Would you bow with me in a word of prayer? God, help us and give us the courage to do the task you've set us to do. Keep us from being at peace in anything else. Keep us from being distracted. Help us to know that there is no season but the season of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that every part of life we have a job to do. God, forgive us when we failed to do it, and help us get back up and do it again. In the imitation of your Son, who fulfilled his ministry perfectly, we pray. Amen.